Welcome to American Dream. I'm your host, Brian Becker. Today we'll be discussing the threat of Quran burnings in America and the other protests pro and con regarding Islam. With me today is Armstrong William, a conservative radio host, and Imam Muhammad Al-Asi from the Washington Islamic Center. Thanks for coming to the show.
Pleasure.
Mr. Williams, you wrote an article for the Washington Times on September 12th where you essentially declared your own war on Islam. You said that Islam is out to conquer the United States.
You know, and thank you for having me. The mosque situation in New York is just clearly being misinterpreted by the press and all sides. This is not an issue of land use. Islam has been at war with the rest of the world for four centuries. I mean, this is something that it takes patience. Islam does not thrive within a democratic liberal society. It just abides its time. There are two houses in Islam. There's the house of peace and the house of war. Eventually, when Islam conquers the place where it is, and then it does what it does best, because it does not operate with a voice of reason, it operates with a voice of force.
So Islam is trying to conquer the United States?
No, it's not about the United States, it's the world.
They're trying to conquer the United States as part of a larger
There are 25 conflicts in the world. 21 involve Islam and Muslim nations. All you have to do is look at Africa. I know people don't like to hear this, but it's just not about the United States.
Well, let's just get another view, Imam Al-Masi. Is Islam trying to conquer the world? Is it trying to conquer the United States? Is that why an Islamic center is being built in Lower Manhattan?
Absolutely not. I mean, this type of approach, this type of comment on the current affairs of Muslims is just coming out of the status quo, the larger interests of predatory governments in the world. My colleague here referred to 25 conflicts in the world. To take a better look at what is going on, the Muslim world has scores of military bases anchored right into them. These military bases come from all around the world, particularly U.S. bases. They are in the Arabian Peninsula, they're in Central Asia, they're in the Far East, they're in the European Muslim territories, they're in Africa, they're all over the place. It's not Muslims that have military bases in the United States. It's not Muslims that have their troops stationed in Colorado and Texas and California and these other places. It's the other way around. So when we look at the tension in this world, there's obviously a tension between Muslims who want self-determination in their own lands, not to be aggressive against others, but when aggression comes their way, they're not going to stand back and say, well, you know, we're going to take this aggression, we're going to sit down, we're going to welcome occupiers, invaders, colonialists, and imperialists. They're not going to take it that way, so they fight back. So the tensions that we notice in the Muslim world, they're a natural response to aggression. If this aggression, if people who have these military bases would fold the military bases, withdraw their troops, and say, okay, you Muslims, if you want to have your problems, you have them to yourselves, and you solve them to yourselves. We have nothing to do with this.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Williams, are there any foreign bases in the United States? Muhammad Al-Asi says the United States has military bases. I think there's about 730 military bases in 130 countries, many of them in Muslim territories. What's the comparable occupation of U.S. soil by Muslim countries? I mean, doesn't he have a point?
No, he does not. But he was honest. The United States and most civilized nations are not running around the world committing terrorist attacks on people, killing innocent people to make their point, because somebody makes them believe that they're going to go off somewhere and get so many virgins. And this is what they are told to do by certain interpretations apart of the Quran. I mean, let's just forget about the bases. I mean, right here in the United States, in Buffalo, New York, within the last 3 months, there was this television executive who was very strong in the Muslim community who said that people like myself and many Americans don't understand Islam, doesn't understand Muslims, and he used his television station in Buffalo to run these PSA announcements to educate us. But you know what he did? His wife decided to divorce him. And you know what he did? He beheaded her. I mean, so it's not
well,
just...
Well, you can take any single example, can't you? I mean, Timothy McVeigh, a white... a militia member who's a Christian blew up the Oklahoma federal building. What does that say about Christians or white people?
Yeah, it's really...
There are always exceptions, but you know what? You're comparing apples and oranges.
But you're making your point. You're taking one individual and saying he beheaded his wife. Every 4 minutes, a woman has violence committed against her.
There are examples every day of Muslims and this Islamic extremism that goes on around the world. We're not just talking about what you talk about with Timothy McVeigh.
Did you support the invasion of Iraq?
Yes, but I was wrong.
Okay. And how many Muslims died in the invasion of Iraq, and Christians and Jews and others? How many died?
As you said, many died.
Okay. From the point of view of the Muslim world, was that a terrorist action to invade Iraq?
Absolutely. It's mega terrorism, and this is what goes unnoticed by the media. We're speaking about the world. We're speaking about militaries and governments, and he reduced it to an individual living somewhere in New York, who turns out maybe to be a criminal in nature.
No, the same
and because there's excuse me, sir. I listen to you. Please listen to me. Because one individual is a criminal, you can't take that and extend it to a 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. Muslims are not criminal. They have no criminal book. We are looking at the aggregate. We are looking at militaries. We're looking at invasions and occupations. The media here talks about Ground Zero. In New York, we have Ground Zero. Now, that name came from whoever decided to call it Ground Zero. But you look at the flip side of this, can't we say we have a larger Ground Zero in Iraq? The United States military in Iraq has caused 1 million widows, 5 million orphans, 1.2 million Iraqis who are internally displaced, 1.8 million Iraqis who are externally displaced, meaning they went into refugee status, because of the military American occupation, invasion, and presence in Iraq. Now, let us look at that scale. Don't bring me down to individuals. We'll find criminal individuals in every religion. There are criminals who are Muslims by religion. There are criminals who are Christians by religion. There are criminals who are Jewish by religion. But don't just take one individual and say, this is the case of all of the religion. Look at the aggregate. Look at what these people are doing as they are represented by their governments, their establishments, and their institutions. When we look at them that way, then we begin to get a better picture of them.
Well, the debate here is a debate that's now raging across the United States. On September 11th, on the anniversary of the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, there were demonstrations protesting the Islamic mosque or the community center that was being built in Lower Manhattan, a few blocks from Ground Zero. There were people demonstrating to support the construction of that. There were many, many thousands who came out. In Murfreesboro, Tennessee, big incidents. In Florida, the threatened burning of the Quran. All around the country, this debate is raging. Now, we went out in downtown Washington, D.C., on K Street, and we asked people how they thought this was impacting on the image of the United States and the American people internationally. We want to hear from them, then we'll come back to this discussion.
I actually live abroad, so I get other people's perspective, not just Americans' perspective, and because I still live in a Western country, it seems that it was quite a mixed emotion. Some people said, go for it. It seems like the West gives a great deal of liberties to a lot of other cultures as they come into our countries, yet those same liberties aren't reciprocated when we go to theirs. So I think a lot of people were saying, well, if he does, he does, he doesn't, that's okay too.
I think it was definitely a negative thing, and it put a lot of our troops overseas in a dangerous position. So it was kind of sad to see how a few individuals just ruined our image in such a dramatic way.
Considering the difficult moments and the last few years that we are living with the relationship between Christians and Islam, U.S. and Middle East, of course, it's not going to affect that very well. By the way, it happens that in the last few days, there were a Catholic school and Christian school that were attacked in the Kashmir and Afghanistan. So I think this is related to the issue of this person that wanted to burn the Quran.
I think it really kind of tarnishes the image, because when someone does something like burn a Quran, I think people in other parts of the world think that all Americans are like this or all Christians are like this. I think that really kind of saps our image around the globe.
It makes us look pretty bad. In other parts of the world, when things like this happen, there's broad disavowment of these activities, both from people who are part of the same religious traditions as people who are doing this kind of extremist activity, but also from the public at large and government officials.
I think it's is very negative impact for the entire world, and not limiting it to U.S., I think it's a negative impact on Christianity. It makes Christianity look like, a private religion and an intolerant religion.
Mr. Williams, the Tea Party, part of the right, part of the conservative movement, affiliated with at least one wing of the Republican Party, they were the sponsors of the protest against Park 51, the Islamic community center that's being constructed in Lower Manhattan. Do you think that they have had a negative impact in terms of the image that people around the world have of the United States or of Americans?
Let me correct you. The Tea Party is no extension of the GOP or the Democratic Party. The Tea Party is against bloated government, and they're against overspending.
And they're against the Islamic community center.
No. Let me correct you again. Most Americans, 62%, 67 by the latest poll, are against the building of that Islamic center in New York.
Okay, so the Tea Party and the other 67%, are they hurting the image that Americans have overseas, and does it matter from your point of view?
Oh, they represent how we feel. Americans are more distrustful of Islamic extremists today than they were
is
immediately following.
Is Park 51 an expression of Islamic extremism?
It's a part, yes, of our frustration. Yes, it is. Because listen, even with the Quran, these Islamic extremists can burn the Bible around the world, and there's no outcry. And we have this guy, which I condemn, building a Quran, and they try to make it out as if we don't stop this, there's going to be another terrorist attack on American soil on military bases around the world. Whom do they think they're going to intimidate? Americans are not going to buy
that. Do you support the burning of the Quran?
No.
I mean, you obviously think Islam is a warlike religion, that there's no room for reason.
Believe it is.
Okay, you wrote an article for the Washington Times, a conservative newspaper here in Washington. I want to bring it up on screen, if we could, to read one paragraph. This is what you wrote on September 12th. It says, in Islam, the world exists in two houses, the house of peace.
And the house of war.
And the house of war. Why don't you explain what you mean? You're saying that where Islam is not the official state religion, say in Saudi Arabia or some other country, that Islam and Muslims are trying to take over all the rest of the world. That's your position.
No.
In other words, and that's what Park 51 is.
No, that's your interpretation.
Okay, give me in 15 seconds your interpretation, then I want to ask the Imam.
In the two houses of Islam, in the war of peace, as I said earlier, they abide their time, they abide by the rules and the guidelines of that nation until they gain dominance and become the dominant religion in that country. Because they don't operate. They operate through force. In many of these Islamic countries, if you look at the way they treat women, if you look at the issues, I mean, many people would think that some of these positions are uncivilized. They use force. People have no rights. They will kill someone, and they will have their children to stone their own mother if necessary, as you've seen in many of the videos on YouTube.
Right, and what we saw in the article, what we saw when we had up on the screen, is you say for Muslims, there's no stable and universal moral code. When you eliminate reason as a guide in human thinking, force is the only thing that determines truth. In other words, your point of view and the point of view that Washington Times and the other magazines and newspapers that are promoting your article say, Islam is at war, and we, the American people, the American government, have to fight back. That's your basic position.
Not the Washington Times and not conservative magazine. It is my opinion that is shared by most Americans.
Okay. Well, let's see. Is it shared in the Muslim American community? And what about the non-Muslim community? Do you think that position, Armstrong Williams' position, is an expression of extremism, or is it really the mainstream position in America?
Well, to be honest with you, the United States is a very mixed bag. There are people who hold the opinion that we just listened to, that they think Islam is the up-and-coming threat, and the Muslims are coming, and it's a green form of terror going from red to green and all this other stuff. That is out there. That's definitely out there. But I don't want to confuse that with the fact that there are many decent Americans who do not believe this. The problem here is that their decency is coming into contact with expressions of ignorance about Islam. This is outright, flagrant ignorance about what Islam is all about. There are no Muslims out there wielding swords and going out and killing people, that you have to become Muslims and this is the only way the world is going to be fixed and all of this. Islam is predicated on acceptance and the absence of coercion. That's a basic tenet. But because we have a type of anti-Islamic venom in the media, they want to project to us that there is a groundswell of anti-Islamic populism that is coming into existence. I don't believe that.
Let me just make this point. In New York City on September 11th, where the attacks happened, most of the people in Lower Manhattan support the construction of that mosque. Most of the people in the affected communities. And on Saturday, it was interesting, September 11th, there were about 10,000 people demonstrating in support of the right to build that Islamic center, while there were a couple thousand against it. So I think it speaks to your point that there's an impression being left in the media that may not, in fact, be reflective of what's going on in the population as a whole.
And that's exactly the point. We have a very anti-Islamic media in the United States in particular, and in the West in general. It is, and even in Muslim countries, you see, my colleague here lumped together Muslim, what passes as governments in Muslim countries, and the Islamic popular sentiments that are beginning to come of age. He's lumping these two together. When you lump them together, of course, you get a garbled picture of what Islam is all about. What are these Muslims trying to do here? We have to, from the beginning, draw a line between non-representative governments in Muslim countries and the Muslim peoples now, who are beginning to say, hey, we also have the right of self-determination, just like all other peoples in the world.
Well, Mr. Williams, let me ask you his question then, and again in another way. We've gone through a period of many decades where in Latin America, predominantly Catholic countries, we had Pinochet, we had Somoza in Nicaragua, we had all sorts of military dictatorships in El Salvador. In other words, governments that carried out endless war against its own people. You could go in, if you connect the government to the population and say, well, there's a religion at work here, you could say, well, Catholicism is a religion based on military dictatorship. Wouldn't that be about the same?
No.
In what way is it different?
It would not be the same. You don't see, even in Catholicism, even in the monotheistic faith, whether it's Judaism or Christianity, you don't see the level of attacks on buildings, on human life, on culture, on the way of life that you consistently see with people who embrace the Islamic faith. You just don't see it. It's endless.
In Guatemala, 100,000 Native Indians were killed by the Catholic government. I mean, that was 100,000 indigenous people. I mean, it's quite profound in terms of the human suffering at the hands of those governments.
While that is wrong, Brian, and while we condemn it, they were not killed because they did not feel like, in the Muslim world, that Israel does not have a right to exist, should be pushed out into the sea. They don't see us as infidels and our values are being exported to their countries, destroying their way of life.
Is that how Muslims view people in the United States, that they're infidels if they're not Muslims?
Absolutely not. This is once again, we encounter the same type of Islamophobic, anti-Islamic propaganda. The Muslims, this is a good point. He mentioned what is typical of the bias in the Western press and the Western media. They say the Muslims want to push Israel into the sea or something like that. The Muslims want to see the Zionist Israeli racist government cease to exist, just like the Soviet Union ceased to exist, the apartheid regime in South Africa ceased to exist. In such a fashion, Israel has to cease to exist. What's wrong with that? It has nothing to do with the Jewish people, has nothing to do with the Christian people, has nothing to do with the Muslim people. It just has to do with an expression of wholesale injustice going on in the Holy Land that has to come to an end.
Well, let me ask Armstrong Williams. I'm sure you'll pick up on that point that Israel needs to cease to exist. When South Africa ceased to exist, as the Imam said, it didn't mean that the ANC in South Africa was calling for the elimination of white people in South Africa. It meant the end of a particular regime that imposed an apartheid, a separation based on the presumed superiority of one over the other. Isn't that somewhat similar? I mean, President Jimmy Carter wrote a book that said apartheid in Palestine. Is the comparison valid at all?
No.
Why? If Arabs call for a non-theological state, in other words, not a religious state, but a state where there's Jews, Christians, Muslims living together in what was historic Palestine. Why is that a call for extermination of Jews?
You know, not that I'm here to be an advocate of Israel, but I've gone to Israel 7 times. I've gone to the Islamic world. I've spent time with their leaders privately interviewing with them off the record. And I will tell you that the Israelis have bent over backwards to accommodate every kind of request to make it work in the Middle East where they could coexist with the Palestinians, where they could coexist, where they could work together. Let me just tell you something. I like this guy. I like this guy because if you examine what he's deeply saying, he's being very honest. Yes, you may try to play on words and make us believe that it's the idea that you don't want Israel to exist in terms of what you feel the habit they call in the Middle East. And while that may sound all good, your actions are not necessarily supportive of that kind of rhetoric.
In what way? What are his actions? What are his actions?
Not literally speaking of him. It's the actions of these extremists, these terrorist attacks.
But for instance, the kinds of things
that comes out of Iran from its leader that is rarely condemned by the Muslim world.
Okay. In the question of Iran, has Iran ever invaded another country?
Absolutely not. It was invaded by other countries, supported. The Iraq imposed war on the Islamic Republic of Iran from 1980 to 1988 was orchestrated in a very sinister way by the government of the United States and supported indirectly by the government in Israel. This was an imposed war on the Islamic Republic of Iran. That imposed war came to an end through the United Nations. Since that time, we've had American military bases ringing right around the Islamic Republic of Iran. There's an American imperialist military buildup in the Persian Gulf. They're beefing up American military bases in the Arabian Peninsula. They're placing more American bases in Central Asia, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. All of these areas are around the Islamic Republic of Iran. Let the Islamic Republic of Iran mind its own business. Let it flourish with its own potential. Why are you going over? Why are we, the American people, represented by the American government? Why are we placing our sons and daughters over there? Right now, the best employer for an American who doesn't find a job is to go to the military, and then the military places them in a part of the world that is trying to feel its way, trying to have its self-determination. We have no business being in that part of the world. We have no business saying that Iran is evil and Ahmadinejad is representing some type of new Hitler figure in the world and all of this.
Sorry to cut you off, but we have just 60 seconds. So I want you each to say in 15 or 20 seconds your own point of view on this question. Imam Al-Assi is saying that the Americans are basically creating a sphere of influence around Iran. They're using Islam as a pretext, or the threat of Islam as a pretext, to carry out a new American sphere of influence. Does the United States have imperial ambitions in that part of the world?
Absolutely not. The United States would not be there were it not for the Jordanians and the Egyptians, who privately cannot condemn many of the actions of the Islamic extremist world, and they allow the United States to do their bidding. They understand that it's a very serious situation since Saddam is no longer there. There's a fight for power. There's a fight for the country that will emerge, and they don't want this extremism to emerge, and they're working in concert with their American brothers. But you will never read about it in the press because of the dangers that are involved with it.
And for you, your last 15 seconds, if you would.
Yeah, the United States there is to continue propping up the status quo, the regimes in Arabian countries that don't represent their own people. I hope the time can arrive when we look at Islamic self-determination.
Okay, I think you're going to have the last word. I want to thank both of you for joining us, Armstrong Williams, Muhammad Al-Assi. I'm Brian Becker, and this concludes this episode of American Dreams. See you next week.